Welcome back to the Business of Government magazine, a special edition of the Business of Government Hour. In this edition of Insights, we introduce you to Julie Parity, former administrator at the USDA's Food and Nutrition Service, on how FNS is making a difference in reducing hunger while promoting better nutrition. Here's former Administrator Parity on the important mission of the Food and Nutrition Service.
The Food and Nutrition Service is my very favorite agency. I say it's the greatest agency in the federal government. My staff hears me talk about it all the time. Its mission is just so noble, to increase food security among the American public and reduce hunger. We do it in partnership with cooperating organizations. We provide children and low-income people access to food, to a healthful diet and nutrition education. And we do it in a manner that supports American agriculture and that inspires public confidence. That's our goal. Primary responsibility at the Food and Nutrition Service is to oversee the administration of the nation's 15 nutrition assistance programs. And these programs touch the lives of one in four over the course of a year. So our mission is very important, very critical to the food security of our nation. And they're at the forefront of ending hunger and improving the nutrition and health of low-income kids and families all across the country.
Here's Julie Parity, former administrator of FNS, on public service.
You know, it's a great honor to be a public servant. My mom and my dad were in the Marine Corps. My mom, when she got out of the Marine Corps, went on to be a teacher. So I got a good dose of what it meant to be a public servant and to serve the American people. It's been a great privilege and an honor for me, and I highly recommend public service to anyone who wants to feel good about what they did day in and day out.
This edition of the Business of Government magazine offers compelling viewpoints on a variety of public management topics. John Kaminsky, senior fellow at the IBM Center for the Business of Government, discusses the Obama administration's evolving performance revolution. Kaminsky tells us more about this so-called stealth performance revolution and the challenges facing the federal performance community.
Well, Michael, early last year, Professor Don Kettle, who's the dean of the Public Administration School at the University of Maryland, noted that the Obama administration seemed to be significantly reshaping the way the federal government governs itself and the way it manages performance. And he calls this stealth revolution. It's called stealth in part because there's not a name for this. It's not some big initiative that's being run across the government, but there's a lot of things that are going on. For example, just since the beginning of this year, the president signed a new law called the Government Performance and Results Act Modernization Act, which updates a performance law from 18 years ago. It's going to have major implications across agencies. Another is that in his State of the Union, he committed to reorganizing the government. The initial proposal is supposed to come out in early June. There was a presidential directive to expand the flexibility of administrative processes, and agencies have several months before they have to deliver plans back to the White House as to how they're going to provide greater flexibility to grantees and to small businesses and stuff. Another directive came out of the White House from the president to streamline service delivery and improve customer service. All these things, when you take them together, are having a major impact on how agencies are governing themselves.
The administration's performance agenda focuses on three elements.
One is he wants the government to focus on high priority performance goals, and he's asked agencies shortly after he took office to identify a small handful, and when you add them up across the government, there's about 125 of them from all the different agencies. And what they want to do is, rather than just making commitments, he says these are things that should be accomplished within 18 to 24 months by the people that are here. And what he wants is for them to have regular quarterly reviews that are data-driven with public dashboards so people can track the progress of what's going on. And this is sort of inspired by what's been going on in states and cities around the country. For example, the Baltimore City Stat and the Washington State process. And this tracking process and bringing people together to look at the progress that's being made and what kind of adjustments need to be made in the process is going to be something that every agency is doing. In fact, this new law that I mentioned earlier puts this process that Zients proposed a year or so ago into statute. And so this June 30th, every agency will have had to have taken their high priority goals and put them through this kind of a process. And it's going to be displayed in government-wide on a new website called performance.gov, where every agency's progress against each of these 125 or so goals will be displayed. Now, the other thing is, in addition to setting goals and tracking progress, is he says it's really important that we provide the tools or the ability of people from different agencies to learn from each other. So what he wants to do is create a series of problem-solving networks. And some of these problem-solving networks will be process-based. For example, there will be a process-based network around improving service delivery and improving customer service. And the government-wide hub for a lot of these different initiatives will likely be the Performance Improvement Council.
John Kaminsky outlines next steps for the federal performance community.
The chief operating officer, the performance improvement officers, the budget people, the finance people, the human capital people in agencies are going to face a substantially changed environment because of this new law and all these administration initiatives. The law requires a handful, for example, of long-term cross-agency priority goals that have to be developed in consultation with Congress. This is something that there's no precedent for, a requirement like this. And inventing this process is going to be something that's going to challenge a lot of agencies, and it's going to require them to work across agency boundaries in a way that's never been done before. The law also requires the designation of goal leaders to sort of shepherd these cross-agency goals, and how that will work and how they'll do this consultation with Congress is going to be sort of invented as they're going along. The other thing is there's going to be probably a shift from the traditional performance model that's been organized historically over the past two decades around agencies and around programs. And this is the original Results Act that has reporting by agencies, and then the last administration had the program assessment rating tool, which looked at programs. I think that we're going to see the government stepping away from a paradigm or focus on agencies and programs to one that's now premised around a portfolio of services and results around a particular outcome that the government's trying to achieve. And this is going to be a different way mentally of achieving accountability, of budgeting for resources. And this is going to be a huge challenge for agencies to figure out how do you deal with this boundary-spanning role where you have an outcome you're trying to achieve, for example, food safety, and that responsibility by statute lies in 15 or 16 different agencies. An interesting model for this may be the implementation of the Recovery Act that reached across agency boundaries in the implementation of over 200 programs and had a focal point and a set of measures and centralized data collection in a way that you were able then to sort of see as citizens through recovery.gov, which is the website, where your money is going and what's being achieved. And so these kinds of changes in the institutional governance structure is going to affect this accountability structure, the performance leaders in the government. So some of the next steps is obviously employing greater transparency, open data standards, shared data elements, and the creation of near real-time reporting.
With each edition of the Business of Government magazine, we do our best to continue and expand on a conversation that seeks as its end improving public management. The contour of necessity prompted by today's most significant management challenges also reveals possibilities to change the way we manage and lead. I hope you find these perspectives, insights, recommendations, and profiles worthwhile additions to this conversation. You may order or download a free copy of the latest Spring-Summer 2011 edition of the Business of Government magazine at businessofgovernment.org and find out how the business of government is not business as usual. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.